All right, Tony, we are live.
We're live now? We're on the air?
We are on the air.
Awesome. So you hooked yourself up a mic, right? So you're able to, people are able to hear you?
People are hear me. They can see me. I'm waving at the camera right now. Let us know if you can hear us okay. And now they're going to be seeing you. So I have a camera set up on me, camera set up on you, and actually a dual setup. So in the middle is both of our cameras, so that people can see both of us talking, in case we talk over each
other. Really? So that's what we're doing different today then. So normally you would be across the table from me, and there would be someone at the desk.
Yeah, so basically, obviously I'm managing the live, so I wanted to sit here at the desk. I'm, you know, very far away from you, unfortunately, but making sure that we're keeping our distance, but I'm still managing the live. And so I set up this camera so that they can see me and a little bit behind the scenes of what we're doing today.
Oh, okay. That's really cool. So that's is that a challenge to be a part of the live and manage the live at the same time?
You guys always love to challenge me. You guys always love to push my buttons, eh?
At the last minute too, right? What did I tell you yesterday that I wanted it like this?
yeah, pretty much. But no, it's good. Like, it challenges me, gets me out of my comfort zone. It gets me to learn new things. And so, like, this is a cool setup. And now I can add that to my repertoire of things I can do, you know? So it's
very nice.
It's not perfect by any means, but, you know, it's a good first take, I think.
Okay. Are we sure that everyone can hear you?
I just got a message on LinkedIn.
Who? From who?
From Devin.
Devin, okay.
Yeah, part of our company. He says, sounds great for the both of you. Tony is a bit quiet. So, Tony, maybe you need to talk. Bring the mic a little bit
I've
closer.
I've never been accused of being quiet. Okay. But can you turn up the volume instead of me like swallowing the mic?
Yeah. Let's turn it up a little bit. I don't want to overpower everybody, but
Devin. Devin's a rock star, by the way, man. He's awesome. I take a sip of my bubbly.
Bubbly? Is it bubbly or bubbly?
I don't know. Will you tell me?
I'm rocking what you're rocking, the water and lemon. I thought we'd be doing that together.
Yeah, water and lemon. That's very 2020. Yeah, I don't know. All the hip people are drinking bubbly or bubbly. I don't know who owns it. Someone told me Michael Bublé owns it, but I think they were just
I think he's just in the commercial.
Oh, he's in the commercial? Maybe he's part of it then. Okay.
Yeah, he was in the... that's why people calling it Bublé, because of the commercial, I think.
Oh, that's why they're calling it Bublé?
I think so.
Hey, I just got an Apple Watch. I sneezed on it, and it changed it changed my face. Oh boy. God. Okay, this is the type of content you're going to be getting from Simply PHP. Sneezing on Apple phones, Apple Watches. So, hey. I'm a little bit curious. Before we start talking about risk reversal, I'm a little bit curious. You were messaging me yesterday on Slack talking about doing a promo video for this live. A thumbnail picture promo for this live. Are those the things that people are doing now to, increase their LinkedIn Live audience members? Like, how many people do we have watching right now?
So right now, we only have about 5 or 6 people watching.
5 or 6? Okay.
Yeah, 5 or 6. Low. That might be. And we changed the time. Normally, we go live at 12. And today, because of scheduling issues, we did 12:30. So maybe 12 is the right time.
Because normally, we have about 20 people viewing, right?
Normally, yeah, I would say like 15 to 20. We've had up to even 30 at some lives. But I would say consistently, we're in the 20s on average.
So... Are people saying that those little promo videos, like the one you shared with me yesterday, work? Or is it something that you just wanted to try? Or
I've seen it work for other other companies and other personal brands. Not so much from the live perspective, but I do watch the market a lot and what people are doing. And it's always changing. Like every week, there's something new, innovative, new apps, new ways to promote. And specifically around LinkedIn, people do tend to promote weeks in advance because they don't go as live as much as we do, right?
Okay.
So a lot of what we try to do here simply is we try to give them a lot of value in a lot of different ways through text, mm-hmm. through written, through audio and video, where most companies don't have that capability. So they focus mm-hmm. a lot on one major event, aka the live, once a month, and then they promote it. And so they spend all month. And so that's why I think they get so much people on, is because it's like, it's not every, we almost do it every other week, right?
You know what? To be honest with you though, Kyler, every live that I've seen, I have yet to see a big audience. It's always been small. It's always been, you know, less than 10.
Yeah.
So us having around 20, you know, I guess if you look at the numbers, it's very, very small. You know, we have 10,000 followers on LinkedIn, for example, and we have 20 people. Percentage-wise, it's very, very, very small. But if you compare it to the other lives that I've seen, if you're not a celebrity, I mean, right? Like, if you're a celebrity, then obviously mm-hmm. you have more people, but...
Yeah. And it's hard to get, you know, 10,000 people is a lot of people in different time zones, get everyone on the same schedule.
No, but even if you had, like... you know, 1% of 10,000 people, that would be a smashing success, right? And you don't even get that.
Yeah. And you know, we're always trying to try different things, different ways to make this better, more valuable. And what we do here is we go live, but we record it so that we're able to repurpose it for future videos that we do get a lot more views. So when I look at the success of our content, I look at not just the live count, but the count of how many people seen it over the month that I've been promoting it. So after this, next week, I'll have a bunch of content around risk reversal and around content creation, that because we're talking about it. And those is what people will see if they weren't be able to attend.
Yeah, for us, it's a great point. We take our 1 hour live broadcast footage and you chop it up and you make little micro videos out of it, which is awesome. You know, it's great. It would be nice if we can get a bigger live audience. But, you know, and I remember I tried creating an event on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I invited, I think it was for, I was trying to target C-level executives. So I have, and I did it on my personal account like we're doing now. And I have 3,000 connections plus. And I created an event. I got a beautiful graphic. Got Rico to do us a beautiful graphic.
He's
and
awesome.
I invited hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of my connections. I think I invited maybe 600 or 700 people.
Wow.
And I got like, I think 60 or 70 people saying, yes, they're going to be there. So I was excited. I was nervous. I was like, wow, this is going to be great. But then I had like less than 20 people, and a lot of them were employees, friends. So I don't think, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mind you, I tried it once. Maybe it's like you said, maybe we should once in a while do a big main event.
Yeah.
With, you know, maybe two or three of us and, you know, like Steve, HR, you know, Raf, you, V, and we can have like... a bigger event, maybe that'll draw some people.
Yeah, I think too is it, you know, because you know, we were talking about this really on Monday, the amount of time that we had to, we're very like, hey, we have an idea, we want to go execute and do it. We're very good at executing, which is nice that some people just stay in the clouds and don't do anything. We actually really, really perform well. But maybe you're right. Maybe we need once a month have a big event where we plan. We really get down the title, the topic. We do some research. We get people to chime in, and we invite, because we have the capability here in the studio to invite people on a Zoom call. So it could be you and Raf and Steve on the Zoom, or you and Steve and a developer on the call, right? And we've done that previously. And so we can definitely make this a real cool like show.
Yeah, that would be a good idea, I think. I think I know when I was researching how to do a great LinkedIn Live, LinkedIn itself has a page where you go and you get tips. And the examples of good live content they were giving were just that. They were actually, you know, 2-3 people at a table. And I think that's what inspired the big convo I had with Steve, our vibe manager, about, okay, what to expect when you're hired here and those types of things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's great.
And those videos that I chopped up afterwards have gotten hundreds of views afterwards, right? And that's just on YouTube. If I count how many people seen it on LinkedIn, I don't have the numbers right off hand, but I know it definitely got circled through a lot. A lot of people like that. And that was our first, I think, live with the new studio, right? So it was like a big event for
that's
us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, LinkedIn video, the videos we put on LinkedIn, I think, have the most viewership, if I'm not mistaken. YouTube is like, eh.
We post a lot of good content.
yeah.
We post a lot of content, but there's so many different platforms that we are trying to tap into. And
do we ever foresee streaming on more platforms simultaneously? I know that was something we wanted to do at the beginning of our live broadcast, but is that something that's on the horizon, or technically it's just a little bit of a pain in the butt?
It is on the horizon. Technically, it is a bit of a pain in the butt, but it is doable. People do it. We can do it. We had some challenges in the past, but we invested in this studio so that we are able to do those things and reach more people. So it is for sure in the foreseeable future, not just like a year from now. It's like in a few weeks to maybe a month from now. Like, we have the capability to do it. Now we just need to get the right, I guess, content around what we want to share on all these platforms.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And when we do that actual bigger live, maybe we can stream everywhere. You know, obviously LinkedIn is the most important. That's the priority. And if I don't want to, you know, we don't want to have any bugs trying to stream to YouTube or Twitter or Instagram or whatever. But
I think like Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn are our most dominant kind of platforms, and we'd focus on those three first. With other platforms, you know, we try to do it all. We try to do Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, and we just like that. I think that's why we got crippled by it.
Oh, you mean streaming simultaneously to those platforms? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. We tried to do it all. Yeah. And it didn't work. But we learned our lesson. I learned my lesson.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Well, okay, you wanna start talking about we can start talking about risk reversal if you'd like.
For sure.
That would be great.
I think, you know, this is the first time I've heard this term before. I'm not sure if it's a common term in web development, but I'm curious just to educate some people who are listening and future listeners when they're seeing the recording of this. What is risk reversal? Like, what is it? I've never heard that term before coming here. So can you talk to me a little bit about what it might be and what it is to you?
Yes, absolutely. So risk reversal is not a web development term. It's more of a client relationship term, a bit of a sales term as well. Risk reversal, the way that I was taught by the great Jay Abraham, is basically when you are having a new client, considering using your services, you need to set it up in a way that that client does not have to risk anything. And this is the way that at SimplyPHP, this is the way we work our sales process. This is the way that we work our resource onboarding process. And risk reversal means that all the risk is on our end. So you can go to, and I'm sure everyone's gone through this, when you want to take on a new supplier, it's like, okay, the supplier is dictating a lot of terms that benefit the supplier. Like, you have to give us a deposit. You have to sign a long-term agreement. You have to guarantee a minimum number of hours that you're going to consume our services. So this is you know, over the years, especially when we were just starting out, we're really aggressively trying to get new clients, and we had a lot of these restrictions in place. And then, after you know, attending some online seminars with the great Jay Abraham, wow, I'm like really shouting him out today. But I have to give credit where credit's due. He's the one that talked about risk reversal, and it really clicked on me. So we have set up our system in a way where it's very, very easy for a client to sign up for our services. And once we started doing this, we noticed that clients and prospects were a lot less stressed because we weren't forcing them to adapt to a rigid system. We were encouraging them to come on to a very flexible, no-brainer system for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So you really are putting the risk on our shoulders, being Simply PHP, and so that it just makes it super easy for them to work with us. And I'm sure in the industry, not only web development, but other industries that, and you mentioned this point, that there's sometimes people pay 50% upfront or even higher, like 75% of the total cost upfront. And that's a huge kind of, you have to really weigh like, okay, is this going to work? Do I have to vet them?
But well, it's a risk, right? So as a client or a prospective client, you're actually put in a position where you have to risk. You have to risk your money. You have to risk your time. So risk reversal is basically making the supplier risk all of that. Hey, you don't have to give us any money down. You don't have to commit to a certain amount of hours. You don't have to sign a very one-sided contract that's going to keep you with us for a long term. And these are the types of relationships that personally I like. If I'm going to take on a new supplier or if I'm going to consume someone's goods or services, I like to be treated in a way where I'm not the one that's always going into my pocket and taking the risk. I like the suppliers to take on a little bit of risk as well, which is what we do at Simply PHP. It's almost impossible not to work with us. Just so you know, if you need PHP services and you call, you'll be speaking with me initially, and yeah, we have a system set up so that we're pretty confident that we have the right system set up for any prospect that comes knocking on our door.
You know, I just realized is that speeds up our process to help them so much faster, because now the cycle where you meet the call, you know, you have the first call and you learn about their challenges and then you vet them and maybe you give a proposal or presentation. Now this process is totally streamlined, is it not?
Absolutely. And that's another great point that you bring up. We can start very quickly. Sometimes we can start the very next day, you know. Sometimes there's a majority of the time when people call and they really need help right away. And we are set up, as long as we have the available resources, we're set up to start very quickly.
That's so good, eh? Like, I've never heard that before. Even if you're thinking about it, doing renovations in your home, like you give a deposit, like in almost every industry.
Yeah.
You're giving that, you have that risk. And there's a lot of construction here in Montreal. And they take a long time to finish things, I find.
Well, you have to be, look, in order to do that, let's be frank. In order to do that, you have to be very comfortable with, your ability to actually deliver. That's the thing. A lot of companies are newly set up. They haven't been in business too long. And they're saying, hey, you know, pay me 50% up front. And in reality, they're trying to get that money. Either they need the money right away or they're not 100% sure that they're going to actually deliver. So they're saying, hey, you know what? Let me just get a little bit of cash, at least 25 or 50% of what I'm estimating this task to take. And then if it doesn't go well, at least they have the money, right? So that's a good way to get What's a good way to say that? That's a good way to not have satisfaction, is to, you know, give money up front.
Mm-hmm. Someone just commented, are we sponsoring Bubbly? Because yeah. We see it.
Is it Bubbly or Buble? Asked that person. I think it must be Buble.
But I think it's Bubbly. I think Buble is the singer that in the commercial.
But doesn't he own this drink?
He might. I really don't know.
Someone told me that, but I don't know if they were just pulling my leg. I heard it's healthy, though.
Yeah, I mean, it tastes amazing. And it's water, right? So.
Well, the thing is, the fact that it tastes amazing makes me skeptical. But there's no sugar in it, so I guess that's okay. Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, risk reversal is also, if we have a client, for example, let me give you an example. We have a client that's using two of our resources and wants to add a third. We even do a little bit of risk reversal there. And, you know, we tell the client, obviously, we'll let you speak to the resource first, have a nice Zoom meeting, video conference, I should say. And we say, look, try him for a week. Try him or her for a week. If they don't work out, then risk reversal. No problem. We won't charge you. And we'll try to provide you someone else. This is pretty huge. It takes the stress out of these transactions, in my opinion. Works a lot better.
And have you seen other companies start to implement this? Or is this something that, you know, we're just kind of realizing now, like, oh, this is something huge?
No, I don't think a lot of companies do that, and they all have their reasons. We, for some reason, are overly flexible. I guess we're overly flexible, number one, because we're successful. So we're like, yeah, it's okay. We're kind of easygoing, mm-hmm. but we've always been easygoing. We've always wanted to have that fast, flexible solution for everyone. It's a lot more fun that way. Mm-hmm. I have done research. Of course, I research my competitors. Yeah, I do. I do. And most of the time, it's a nightmare. I don't know. it's really bad. But the competitors that I have reached out to and spoke with, and again, they don't know who I am. I'm masquerading as a potential client. I don't take a lot of their time, though, but I just, you know, I like to find out how their systems are. Do they return calls right away? What type of flexibility do they have? And pretty much 95% of the time, it's a very rigid system. Okay, you have to hire this many people for this amount of time. You have to commit to this, commit to that. You have to send us some money up front. It's very much all about them. This is what I've found.
Yeah.
When I've done my research. Whereas with us, we are over accommodating, over flexible. I don't know why we are just that way. I guess we should probably psychoanalyze ourselves and find out why. But hey, it works for us.
Yeah, and we hear from our clients all the time that like their enjoyment working with our staff, with our developers, with you and Raph. I don't see a lot of clients because I'm mostly focused on the business, but I hear the amazing stories.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's, I guess maybe it's because we deal with, I don't know, just maybe small to medium business as opposed to the larger, billion-dollar corporations that enjoy that type of structure.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, risk reversal works great.
Mm-hmm. So let's expand a little bit more on that. So now you've had that first call with that prospect. Let's say you move forward like the next week or the next day. How does this process work? So now as a customer or as a potential customer, I know that there's no risk on my end. At the end of the month, can I leave and not pay? Like, how does it work? Can we talk about a little bit of the process?
Yeah, I would say that the 1 week is a sweet spot for both parties, or actually for all three parties. 1 week is good for the resource as well, for the person to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I like working for this company. I like working on this project. Same thing for the client. You'll know after a couple days if this is the right person for you. Actually, we'll often know the first day. You know, if the developer can't get their environment set up properly in the first, you know. Listen, sometimes it's hours, sometimes it's days, but it's very telling the type of questions that a developer will ask when setting up the environment and how that process goes. Mm. Tells a lot. So normally a week is a good measure. And to be honest with you, it's happened rarely that it didn't work out because, you know, our developers are good. We have intermediate to senior developers only. And yeah, they're good. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very rare that a client will say, hey, you know what, Tony, this is not the right person for me.
Mm. But even then, like, we normally rotate people anyways, right? If something were to come up like that. So there's almost no con for this prospect, for this this client, right?
Yeah, well, if a client really likes their resource and works really well with them, we try not to rotate that person off of the project. Of course, mm-hmm. we try to keep the people on projects that they like and projects that they are delivering value to for as long as possible. The little asterisk to that would be we like to rotate. If there's only one person on the project, we like to rotate another person in once in a while just to make sure that if something happens, like we know the bus factor, we did a whole segment on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, then the client is covered. That's part of the value of you know, using the services of someone like SimplyPHP, is that you have that added security blanket, knowing that, hey, if something happens to my developer, if you only have one, if something happens to my developer, I know that that the team at SimplyPHP has got me covered.
Okay.
So, yeah, great point. But we try, like, when there's a synergy between client and resource, we try to keep that going as much as possible, as much as we can, you know?
Right.
It's lasted years. Some of our people have been on projects literally for years.
Wow.
And they wouldn't have it any other way. And the client's super happy too. However, we try and rotate another person
mm-hmm.
in
fresh
there a
eyes.
Little bit just to make sure, you know?
Because mm-hmm.
we've seen a lot of stuff happen in the past decade.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something earlier in previous podcasts and also today. You said accountability, flexibility, like these are the things that SimplyPHP represents. Can you talk about some of those like terminologies that you said, like flexibility? I understand because we've been talking about risk reversal as super flexible, but what about accountability? How do we give accountability? Like, what are we accountable for?
That's a good question. Accountability is, the way I can put it is we're not a placement agency. Okay, so we're not a recruiting agency. So we don't find a resource for our clients and just assign them and say, hey, you know, let me know after 3 months, we get our commission type of thing. So it's not like that. It's really, these are our full-time employees. We give them support. We have project management. We have systems in place to make sure that they have everything they need to do a great job. And when they don't do a great job, you know, we make sure that it's not our fault. You know, so if a client calls, and I use this example often, it happened a few years ago. A client called and said, "Hey, you know what? Your developer deleted our database."
Ooh.
And this was about, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I said, that's impossible. And I said, which developer? And they told me, I said, no, it's impossible. It's a very smart guy. But in reality, he did. And it was very, very strange. And it took about a week for that developer to recover everything. And so we didn't charge for that week, obviously, you know, because that's we held ourselves accountable for the actions of our employees. And that was a very again, I mentioned that one often, even during sales calls when I'm talking to prospects, I'll bring it up as a way to try to sell our services, as a way to try and close deals, right? And I explained to them that situation. But that was very weird. And he could not explain why he did it. I don't know. He was just, and it was very, very, very strange. However, we put on our big boy pants, came to the table, and made sure that we did the right thing. And we still have that client.
Wow.
We don't still have that developer, though. But they weren't let go because of that. I think there was something. I think it was an accumulation of stuff.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Who knows?
So it sounds to me like we're accountable on our client's performance. We're accountable for their success. Because if we're not taking money up front, then our only job is to make sure they're successful.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we invoice either weekly or monthly, like any regular service that you get, you know. The web is kind of weird. They normally invoice ahead of time and deposits and all that stuff. So we're just like a regular company that provides services. And the way that we work is whatever we do from Monday to Friday, we send out time log reports from JIRA the following Monday. And so we allow our clients to take a look at the report and see what, you know, just to confirm what was done. Often they already know because a lot of our clients are involved with their projects. And then we either invoice weekly or we invoice monthly. Often larger clients like to be invoiced monthly and pay 30, 60 days. All good. So yes, to your point, we have to deliver or we might not get paid.
Bye-bye client.
Well, bye-bye client, and we don't get paid. We learned that, you know, that's business 101, right? If you don't satisfy your clients, you're not going to last in this business. Mm-hmm. If you don't deliver, you are not going to last.
And you and Raf have been doing this for, well, Simply PHP, I might mention, for 11 years.
11 years, yeah.
Wow.
Well, we're in our 11th year now. It'll be our 11th anniversary July 1st.
Summer anniversary,
or
I love
June 30th, it. One of the two. I think it's June 30th.
And is there anything you can think of, and I'm putting you on the spot, so I'm just putting this
all
out
right.
there.
Okay.
But what advice could we give? You know, I know the topic of today is risk reversal, and I think we've demonstrated the value that this can be, this can have. You know, with not only with Simply PHP, but for our clients, but maybe we can talk more about, you know, the business as a whole and how we got to this point. Cause we didn't just start out of the gate successful, you know, it took years and it took time and it took trial and experience. So I don't know if you have, you know, maybe some tips you can share with some people, cause we are talking to business people, talking about risk reversal and to developers perhaps, but any tips you might want to share with the audience today?
Yeah, I guess. Well, learn from your mistakes. So every process we have in place at this company is because of a mistake that was made in the past. So we made a lot of mistakes, whether they were our fault or not, business mistakes. I'm talking about business mistakes, and any bad event that happened, we'd say, okay, this really sucks. But let's do this in order to avoid that in the future. And our company systems and processes are filled with, just bad things that happened. you know, when you're in business, especially in the early years, when you're not 100% sure about what you're doing, and you're just finding your way and you're discovering, you know, problems, challenges, just make sure that you put in processes to avoid that from happening again in the future. Because don't forget, I might have learned something in 2012, but I hired a manager in 2018 that does not have that knowledge and never learned that lesson. And I could see them doing it right in front of me. And I'm like, whoa, hang on a second. Don't do that. Because I remember we did that about, you know, 6 years ago, and it was horrible. And this happened and that happened. So whenever bad things happen, you know, obviously you need to fix them, but you need to put in the processes so that they won't happen again, whether you're there or not. That's big.
It's huge.
Yeah. I think, I know this is going to sound corny and cliche, but putting the client first is the key to success. If you don't put the client first, well, you're not going to get paid, right? So if you don't deliver, and I say put the client first, I mean, yes, we think of our employees, it's kind of a balance. We put our employees first. We make sure that they're in a great work environment. We make sure that they're happy. But the other balance, the other side is we always make sure that our clients are happy, make sure that we're delivering. Mm-hmm. Because without clients, you don't have revenue. And this is all about repeat business. This, you know, this PHP development services business that we have, it's all about repeat business. And when I say repeat business, I say if you have a client that's hired one or two or three or four of your resources, every single week that goes by where they get a time log report and they approve those hours and the next week starts, that's all repeat business. That's like someone coming back to your restaurant every Friday because they love your pizza. They're not coming back because you're the only game in town. They're coming back because, you know, they go to your restaurant, they get good service, everyone knows them, they keep coming back. So PHP Development Services is the same exact thing. It's repeat business. So without repeat business, you cannot have a successful company. Mm-hmm. And then there's referrals. Referrals is huge. It's massive. So if you are not providing a good experience for your clients, they will never refer you. You know, even when you're providing really, really good service to a client, they don't always refer their friends. Who knows why? Mm-hmm. But if they're not happy, they're definitely not going to refer anyone. So you've got, and again, it sounds cliche, it sounds a bit corny, but definitely the top, you know, one of the top things to remember is that it's all about the client. You got to make sure that you please your clients. You got to make sure that you deliver. And that's where you get paid. That's where you get repeat business. And that's where you get referrals. Because don't forget, if you, as a business, are getting leads every day, you may close, if you're lucky, you may close 10, 20, 30% of those leads. With referrals, I think the success rate is probably 90 or 95%. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. I think it relates back to risk reversal. Like we show everything, all the tips you just said, like it shows in our processes, the risk reversal, the accountability for performance, like all these things, all these tips that you're giving are how we run our business every single day. Right. So it's huge. It's huge.
Exactly. And, you know, we've got another thing. We've got a great bunch of people here. Like we've got a...
How many people?
Amazing.
Let's tell them.
I don't know. No, I think we're probably around 51 or 52, all full-time employees, all across the country of Canada. So... we are from Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Quebec, Ontario, and so on, which is fantastic. We've got a few time zones in there, and most of our people are in the Eastern time zone. Most are also in Montreal. I think it's Montreal is number one, followed by Ontario or Alberta for resources.
Now, it hasn't always been that way, has it?
No, we used to be, so the criteria to be a developer at SimplyPHP used to be that you had to be located in Montreal and you had to be willing to come to the office every single day and never work from home. We were anti-work from home. And then, of course, COVID hit. And now we're pro work from home. And it took a while to change. We didn't just change overnight on, you know, March 15th, 2020. We fought it. But then we realized that, hey, you know what? A lot of people's productivity has risen. There are a few problems that we had to address and let some people go, unfortunately. Like the person that used to commute for a couple of hours a day, now I'm sure this is a broken record, everyone's saying this, but the person that used to commute a couple of hours a day is now just relaxing comfortably at home and is, you know, putting in the hours. I think that software developers are the type of beings that working from home is good for them because they're so, you know, mathematically focused and they're scientists and they have that. Even when they were here, like even when all the programmers were here, I used to like look at them sometimes and say, how is that person still sitting there, you know, just tapping away and tapping away and tapping away? It's because they really get focused and into their job, their tasks,
their flow,
and their flow. And it's just, you know, so I understand how a developer can thrive at home. I think managers, though, maybe a little bit different, because I don't know, I feel like managers and salespeople and, you know, kind of have to be more social and more heads up and not behind a screen all day. So I think that might be a little bit challenging for the work at home person. But software developer, I can totally get it. Makes sense. Because when they were here, they were just so quiet and sitting, most of them, most people.
Yeah.
Just like so focused in their scripts or whatever it is they do.
We're not going to get into that.
I still haven't figured out what they do. If this equals this, then that equals, you know, what are you talking about? I love it though.
That's awesome.
All right.
So,
what about that? Can I ask you, as we wrap up, can I ask you, buddy, any comments first? Is there anyone out there?
Only the two comments that I shared, which was the, you guys sound great. And are we sponsoring Bubbly?
Okay.
Or Bublé.
Bublé.
Tell us in the comments which one it is. Is it Bublé or Bubbly?
Yeah, yeah. Boob is Bublé is B-O-O-B-L-Y. Yeah. So just to change subject completely.
Sure.
I'm going to let you talk a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Pass the baton.
I saw a live broadcast on LinkedIn. Similar to this, you know, Q&A, riffing off each other. But whenever someone made a comment, it showed up on the screen, like in a very colorful, you know, dialogue box. It had the person's name. So it had the person's, like, LinkedIn photo and name. And then on the bottom had their comment. And the hosts were able to, you know, address those comments live.
Yeah.
Is that something that we should do?
Well, should do, of course. Can we do? I'm going to do some more research on what that feature is. Okay. And so we use a program to go live on LinkedIn, right? So YouTube, Facebook, they have internally built systems to go live where you can show some of those things. Where LinkedIn, we have to use an external third-party tool enabled to go live on the platform. So what you're talking about, I've seen as well. And I don't know off the top of my head if our system can do it, but doesn't mean we can't, or doesn't mean we can't change and get something that will. So I think it's cool. I think, why not? Let's go for it. You know, we're always trying to innovate and change. And
yeah, I know for me, it encouraged me to make a comment just so I can see my...
For sure.
You know,
Yeah.
It's all about me, right? I want to see my comment on the screen.
YouTube already has that natively. Like, on if you go live on YouTube, you see everyone's comments. You know, on the side, you can also see it on the screen, and Facebook as well, I'm pretty sure. So it's definitely doable. LinkedIn.
I mean, like an embedded, like, at the bottom, let's say you're looking at me right now, right? It would be like right here.
Yeah.
It would be like a pop-up.
Like on the screen, not on the side.
Yeah, not on the side. Now, I don't know if someone is filtering that in case someone makes like a nasty comment or something like that. Not that that's ever happened to us.
Yeah.
But now it will. but it was cool, you know? And then the host would say, oh, okay, hey, Tony, let's see what you have to say. And I felt good. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe
that's for sure something we can do.
That might encourage some interaction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think there's definitely some research on my end I have to do to see what's capable, because we're not leveraging every feature possible.
Yeah.
We're definitely still in the beginning stages of all we can do in this live. I think every live we learn so much. Mm-hmm. Let's keep pushing and growing and trying new things on different platforms and different, like you said, comments that you see on the screen and other fun things that are coming out every single day.
Nice. Yeah, the quality of our lives, are just incredible. Like I haven't seen too many people with this high quality of live broadcast yet.
It's so really
kudos
cool.
Kudos to you, buddy. Very, very, very well done.
And thank you to Raf. He was a big help in that that process as well. We did it together.
yeah, of course. Yeah, he's good with that stuff.
Yeah. Any other thoughts around risk reversal?
I think that's
40?
It, buddy. Yeah, I think that's good. As I look at my new Apple Watch.
Ooh.
Apple
very fancy.
Earnings today is going to be interesting. Yeah, no, that's it. I think maybe once you figure that pop-up thing out, we can do a video on that and just try it out.
Yeah.
You know, let some people make some comments, and that would be great. I want to talk, the next video, I want to talk about Export Development Canada and how they helped our business and how they could potentially help our viewers' businesses. Very, very, very huge, Export Development Canada. That's going to probably be a big video for me. I might create an event. I might actually tag Export Development Canada in that. So that's one. I want to talk about our giving back program too. But I think before talking about our giving back program, I want to wait until our new website is launched.
Yeah.
According to V, is going to be this Friday.
V, we're so calling you out.
Very exciting, V, that you said it's going to be launched in like less than 48 hours. Wow.
You said it. It's out there. It's out there now.
Yeah, it must be true. Even if she meant next Friday, I think she meant this Friday. So I'm going to say, well done, V. I can't wait to see the new website. Yeah, so I'm going to do a segment on our company's giving back program as soon as the website's launched, buddy. So like if it's launched this week on Friday, next week we'll do a segment on a giving back, or maybe the week after, because on the website there's a page dedicated to that. So I would like to refer to it.
Yeah.
If we can.
Well, let's definitely make an event and start promoting it. And maybe in a week or 2 weeks, whenever we decide to go live again, we really push and we make it a bigger event. We can have V on the call on the screen. We can have, Rico on who designed it. We can have, and just really talk about it, or Raf talking about the giving back program and really make it a cool event.
Yeah, that's a deal. So Export Development Canada and Simply PHP's giving back program are on deck.
Awesome. And anyone in the comments, if you guys want to see a specific topic that we talk about, we can talk about web development. We can bring some of our developers in, either on screen or here. Or if you want to hear from the business owners, from Tony or Raf or myself, just anyone, any topic, let us know. Comment below and we'll try to get to you. And we'll try to add it to the queue of live streams of podcasts that we do.
Sweet. Thank you, Kyler. Great job today, buddy. I like the new, I like it. I can't see it yet. I look forward to seeing how it looked. And
you look good.
Yeah, but do you look good? That's the question.
I look. There's some improvement. It's not. It's not like right now. I see the background. Right, is not perfect, but it's definitely something. It's we're getting.
Do you have the whiteboard in your background?
No, I'm covering it. My head. My big head is covering it, so they can't see anything. I don't know if we can show that information.
Well, I see Steve, Bruno, Isaac, Julian, first goal. So there must have been a foosball table or a basketball net.
Backing up so they can see.
And they kept track of who scored the first goal for the company, maybe?
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We'll have to figure that out. All right, my man.
Thank you
I
so much.
Get back to work.
All right, we are signing off, everybody. Thank you, and Bye. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.